In our evening service, we're studying the Gospel according to John. And I want to read now from John chapter 8, verses 12 to 20. John chapter 8, verses 12 to 20. Let us hear God's word. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." So the Pharisees said to him, "You're bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony is not true." Jesus answered, "Even if I do bear witness about myself, my testimony is true. For I know where I came from and where I am going. But you do not know where I come from or where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. Yet, even if I do judge, my judgment is true. For it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. In your law, it is written that the testimony of two men is true. I am the one who bears witness about myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness about me." They said to him, therefore, "Where is your Father?" Jesus answered, "You know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also." These words he spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple. But no one arrested him because his hour had not yet come. We pray that God will help us all to understand his word. Amen. I want to speak to you this evening from John chapter 8, verse 12. John chapter 8, verse 12. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." In ancient times, armies were enormous. Xerxes, the king of Persia, invaded Greece in 481 BC with an army of at least 250,000 men. The Greeks claimed that his army was 1,700,000 men, but they were exaggerating. It was a very, very large army. And as these ancient armies travelled, they would of course spread out over many, many miles. It takes a lot of country to hold a quarter of a million people with their animals and their food and their supplies and their families sometimes and so on. And the difficulty for the generals and the leaders and the kings, how did you keep your army together? How did you make sure that they didn't get lost, that they didn't break up and go in different directions? The land in that part of the world, in Egypt and Mesopotamia, is level. Great flat plains stretching for hundreds of miles. And on those level plains you could see for many miles. So what the leaders of the armies did was this. At the head of the army, a tall pole was held up into the air. And that pole was set on fire. There would be cloth or some other material at the head of the pole, soaked in what we now know is oil, which was plentiful in that part of the world. They didn't call it oil then. But they would soak it in this and they would set it on fire. During the day, there would be a thick column of black smoke which would rise up into the air. You could see it for miles. And the army would follow the pillar of cloud. And then at night, they would have it flaming. And the army would follow the pillar of fire. And that's how armies were kept together, kept moving in the same direction. They followed the pillar of cloud and fire. And some of you will remember that that is how the children of Israel were led in the wilderness. Except it wasn't by a wooden pole. It was by a miracle. The presence of God Himself. He came down. And He was the pillar of cloud and fire. And in the night, the Israelites followed the light. And as long as they followed the light, they couldn't be lost. And they couldn't wander. And that light in the darkness that God was, the person of God, that was a picture of what God would always do as He leads His people through a dark, dangerous world. And that is the background to our text. This is the second of the seven I am sayings in the Gospel of John. He's already said, I am the bread of life. He now says, I am the light of the world. He is still in Jerusalem. The Feast of Booths or Tabernacles is still going on. You remember how last week we saw that there were two ceremonies which had been added by God's people later in history after the completion of Scripture. One was the pouring of water. But the second ceremony was the lighting of lamps as they remembered the pillar of cloud and fire in the wilderness. This lighting of lamps took place for 7 nights in the treasury of the temple. 4 huge poles were set up. Each of those poles was over 20 meters high. I'm told that it's about 6 meters from the floor to that corner. So the poles would be more than 3 times that height. Enormous poles. At the top of each pole, there were 4 bowls filled with 65 liters of oil. And every evening, young priests would climb up great ladders to the top of these poles. We're told, rather bizarrely, that the wicks of the lamps were the priests' undergarments. But I suppose we don't want to investigate that any further. In any case, there were wicks in these great bowls of oil. And as darkness started to fall, the young priests would climb up to the very top of these 20-meter poles and light the lamps. And 16 brilliant lights would burst out in the darkness of Jerusalem. The walls of Jerusalem are made of yellow limestone. Many of you no doubt have seen pictures of the modern Western Wall, or Wailing Wall, as it's sometimes called. And when the lights are on it, it glows with a great brilliance and beauty. And apparently the whole city of Jerusalem was for 7 nights in the year illuminated by these great lights burning all through the night. And the people, we're told, danced and sang all night to the music of instruments around the lights. The Jewish Mishnah says there was not a courtyard in Jerusalem that did not reflect the light. So this was the ceremony of the great lights. What a dramatic scene. And this is the context in which Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Sometimes we think of that verse as referring to the sun. And that would make good sense, of course. And there are parts of the Bible which seem to refer to God comparing him to the sun, which lights the whole world and gives life to everything. But I think here in the context, here at this place in John's Gospel, at this time, the primary reference has to be to these lights which have been lit at the festival. There's a sequence here. In chapter 6, Jesus is coming and saying, I am the true bread of life, the true manna. In chapter 7, he's saying, I am the true water from the rock. And in chapter 8, he's saying, I am the true light, the true pillar of cloud and fire. He's saying, I fulfill all these things that happened in your history. They're about me, and they're pointing to me. So we want to think this evening about Jesus as the light of the world. And I want to say four things about this light. First of all, the light revealed. The light revealed. I am the light. He probably spoke these words on the same day as the events of chapter 7 that we looked at last Lord's Day evening. The feast is either ending or it has just ended. It's the last great day of the feast. You remember I said that the lamps were lit in the treasury. And we're told here in verse 20, these words he spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple. The very place where the great torches had been burning every night. It may be the last night of the torches, or it may be the next day when all the torches have gone. And at this place, and at this time, Jesus makes a proclamation. You've been looking at lights. You've been remembering the light in the wilderness. You've been thanking God for the light. I'm the light. I'm the light. I am. You remember we saw what those words mean. This is God's own name. God's personal name. And here's this carpenter from Nazareth, the son of Mary. And he says, I am God. I'm the everlasting Lord. I'm God himself. And in me, you can see the glory and the beauty and the majesty of God. You remember what John says in 1:14, we have seen his glory, the glory as of the only Son from the Father. Or in chapter 1, verse 18, he says, no one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, Jesus, he has made him known. That is who Jesus of Nazareth is. He is God. He's the everlasting I am. And he says, I am the light. He's saying, you see, that the world is in darkness. The world is in darkness. The darkness of sin. The darkness of unbelief and ignorance. People can't see. They don't know where they're going. They don't know how to live. They don't know how to die. They don't know what's going to happen to them after they die. They don't understand about their souls or about heaven and hell or about forgiveness. The cleverest men in the world, some of them, don't understand these things. They're in darkness. There are other so-called lights in the world. But they're false lights. They're deceptive, dangerous lights. I was reading recently of a phenomenon that happens all over the world in boggy, marshy country. The phenomenon is that of the marsh lights. Sometimes they're called the will-o'-the-wisp or the jack-o'-lantern. And apparently on that damp, marshy, boggy country, at night you will see little spurts of light. Some scientists think it's little eruptions of methane gas caused by rotting vegetation. But the people who live there say that if you follow those lights, eventually you'll sink in the marsh. They seem to be showing you the way. You say, what's that light? But you follow it, and then it goes out. Then there's another light, and you walk over there. Then there's another light, and before long, you're hopelessly lost. And these will-o'-the-wisps, you can never catch them. You can never get up with them. They promise to guide you. They don't guide you. They lead you astray to death. There are all sorts of ideas in the world and cults and religions and philosophies and people saying this is the way to live, this is the way to go. But Jesus says, I'm the light. I'm the light. He shows us what God is like. He shows us what God has done for us. He shows us what God requires of us. When Israel was in the wilderness, they had light in the night. God Himself was their light. He was their pillar of fire. And so Jesus is the light. He leads us. He guides us. He shows us where the obstacles are. He protects us from lostness and danger. He's a light which never leaves us. He's a light which always goes ahead of us, so that we can look and live. He's not just a teacher. He's not just an example. He is God with us. I am the light. My friend, do you understand that Jesus Christ is the light? You understand that in Jesus you can meet God and know God. The invisible God in heaven has revealed Himself in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. And in Him you can see God and you can see life. Light revealed. But secondly here we have light extended. Light extended. I am the light of the world. Of the world. Scholars tell us that at this time, the Jewish people were largely inward looking. There were some Pharisees who went all over the world looking for disciples, but they were the exception. The Jewish people weren't interested in the world. They didn't think that any responsibility for the world. They wanted to separate themselves from the world and have as little to do with it as possible. They were inward looking. They'd lost any sense of mission or outreach. The same thing can happen with the church today. We can get so absorbed with our own affairs and what's happening in our own church that we forget the world out there. And of course, the Jewish people were forgetting a very core element in their history and in their calling from the very beginning. You remember how when God called Abraham, He said to him in Genesis 12:3, in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. All the families of the earth. Abraham, this is for the whole world. This covenant, this salvation is for the whole world. I'm your God, I'm your family's God, but I'm the God of the whole world, and you have to play a part in that. And again, we get that in the Psalms. All people that on earth do dwell, sing to the Lord with cheerful voice. Nothing narrow about that. That's not just one nation. Everybody. And so we're told again and again in the Old Testament of the Christ, the Messiah, that when He comes, He will bring blessing to the whole world. Isaiah 42:6. I will give you a light for the nations to open the eyes that are blind. Or again, Isaiah 49:6. I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. That's God's statement about Christ when He comes. His message is going to go out into the whole world. You remember how the aged man Simeon in the temple spoke in Luke 2:32 about this baby, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And so Jesus is the light. He doesn't say, I'm the light of Jerusalem. That's what these lamps were. They were lamps for Jerusalem. He doesn't say, I'm the light of Israel or the light of Palestine. He says, I am the light of the whole world. Stupendous claim. All of history, every continent, every nation, every individual. Here's our charter for mission. Our Savior says, I am the light of the world. And He's saying by implication, I am the only light. I am the light. There are no other lights. You can't get light in any other religion or any other philosophy or any other set of rules or guidance for light. There's only light for life. There's only light in Jesus Christ. I am the light. And apart from me, there's no saving light. Now, that's not politically correct to say that today, but it's true. It's taught again and again in the New Testament. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He's unique because of who He is and what He has done. The light extended. I am the light of the world. And friends, there's also something tremendously encouraging about that. It's telling us that God's arms are wide open. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, there's light for you in Jesus. No matter where you've come from, no matter what your past may have been, no matter what a mess your life may be in at present, no matter how uncertain your future may be, doesn't matter. The light of the world. Aren't you in the world? Aren't you part of the world? Then it's offered to you. It's extended to you. There are no exceptions here. There are no exclusions. Light for everyone who will come. No one is disqualified. I am the light of the world. Light revealed. Light extended. The light of the world. And thirdly, light followed. Light followed. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness. That's what you've got to do with a light. Imagine a group of people lost. They've been out for a walk, hopelessly lost. They're in dangerous country. It is pitch dark. They have no idea where they are or where they should be going. And somebody produces a torch. And there's only one torch in the group. And suddenly that person has a lot of very close friends. People who want to stick beside him and walk with him and not lose touch with him and keep close to the torch. That's what Israel did in the wilderness. There was a light, the pillar of fire. And in the darkness, they had to follow the pillar of fire. And that's what we have to do with Jesus. Whoever follows me. That's quite a strong word. It's not a casual relationship. It's not saying whoever thinks about me occasionally, or whoever's mildly interested in me, whoever gives themselves to following me. And the Greek word means continually following. Following all the time. Day by day, week by week, month by month, moment by moment. Whoever keeps on following me, trusting him, obeying him, doing what he says, being what the Lord Jesus wants us to be, thinking what the Lord wants us to think, saying what he wants us to say, doing what he wants us to do, suffering what he wants us to suffer, but above all, trusting him, depending on him, believing in him, seeing him as our Savior, following him. Are you a follower of Jesus? I'm not asking if you're interested. I'm asking you, are you following him? Are you following him today and this past week? Are you committed to trusting and obeying and serving him? How challenging it is. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Will not walk in darkness. Perhaps I'm speaking to you tonight and you are a true Christian. You've believed in Christ. You've been born again. You've trusted in him for your salvation. You are a believer. And yet over the past weeks or months perhaps, you've lost touch. You haven't been following closely. Some sin has come into your life. You've been neglecting your fellowship with Christ. You haven't been seeking him each day in prayer and the word. There's a distance now between you and the Savior. And that's perhaps why in areas of your life, you're walking in darkness. Yes, you are a Christian. You are a believer, but you haven't recently been following. You've been slackening off. You've gone through all the motions. Nobody but yourself knows what's going on in your heart, but you're not as close to Christ as once you were. And what has happened? There are areas of darkness in your life have come in. You have to say to yourself this evening, well, he is my Savior. He is my Lord. I love him. But I have to admit, I haven't really been following him recently the way I once did, the way I should. I'm going to put it right tonight. I'm going to close up with Jesus. I'm going to come back again. I'm going to follow him closely. Or perhaps you've never followed Jesus. You've thought about it. You've wondered. But you've never reached that point where you've said, right, I'm following him. And our Lord says, if that's the case, you're still walking in darkness. Is that the way you want to live? Do you want to go on the rest of your life in darkness and reach the end of your life? You step over the precipice of death and you're walking into eternal darkness forever. What a difference walking in the daylight, walking in the sunshine, walking in the light. There's no danger, there's no fear, and there's no stumbling. Everything is bright and beautiful. And the light gets brighter and brighter and brighter. And at the end of our lives, there's a greater light. A great, shining, beautiful light. The light of heaven. And the path of the righteous is one that grows brighter and brighter and brighter till the perfect day. Are you walking in the darkness? Or are you walking in the light? Are you following Jesus? We have to follow him. To walk in the light. What a difference to walk in broad daylight. Light revealed. light extended, light followed, and lastly, light possessed. Light possessed. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. But will have the light of life. How encouraging is that? One commentator says, God has given us not just a map, but a guide. A guide is far better than a map. I remember the end of June 1965. I had got off a train after 3 days in the centre of Athens. I had travelled from London by train, the cheapest carriage you could get into. We were told beforehand to bring our own food. I made a very, very poor choice. I took with me a large packet of meat sandwiches. So after one day, they had to be thrown out the window because of the heat. And I had had 3 days and three nights in this train, just graduated from university. I was standing in Athens. I had got to find the British School of Archaeology where I was staying. I was going out on an archaeological dig for 2 months. I hadn't a clue. I couldn't speak a word of Greek. I knew all Greek up here, but I couldn't speak it. Didn't know where I was going. So I stopped a kind-looking individual and asked him, how can you get to the School of Archaeology? And his English wasn't very good. And he started explaining it. And it sounded so complicated. And I couldn't understand what he was saying. And I just listened with mounting despair. And he must have seen it in my face. He stopped and said, look, I'll take you. I'll take you. Oh, the relief. I didn't have to follow a map. I didn't have to follow instructions. I had someone who's going to take me. And all I had to do was follow him. Jesus says, whoever follows me has the light. The Christian life is essentially a simple thing. Follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. Trust him and obey him and do what he wants you to do and go where he sends you and say what he tells you to say. Follow Jesus. You have the light. He never leaves. There's no night in the Christian life. He's a constant source of light. Dark times will come for all of us. Sad times, difficult times. But the darkness will never be absolute. There'll always be light. I love that statement in Psalm 112, verse 4. Light dawns in darkness for the upright. Light dawns in darkness for the upright. But there's more in these words. Jesus is saying, whoever follows me will have the light of life. And I think he's saying here that they will have the light in the sense they will be the light, they will possess the light within themselves. They will give out light. They will be sources of light. I'm the light, and whoever follows me will have the light. Is that not what he says elsewhere? Matthew 5:14. You are the light of the world. Here he says, I'm the light of the world. There he says, you're the light of the world. That's because when we follow him, we have the light. Ephesians 5:8. At one time, you were darkness. But now, you are light. You are light in the Lord. Christians are light bearers. We shine. Paul says in Philippians 2:15. Among whom you shine as lights in the world. Some of you remember the little children's chorus. Jesus bids us shine with a clear, pure light, like a little candle burning in the night. In this world of darkness, so let us shine. You in your small corner, and I in mine. We are meant to shine. We are lights in the world. We show Jesus. We tell of Jesus. We help people to find Jesus Christ. He is sending us out to be His lights in the world. Are you showing that you're following the light of the world by shining with the light of the world? Our children sing, don't they? The Lord will light my candle so that it shall shine full bright. That's who we are. We're Christ's lights in the world. My dear friends, let us go out this week and shine in the darkness with the light of Jesus Christ. Light revealed, I am the light. Light extended, I am the light of the world. Light followed, whoever follows me will not walk in darkness. And light possessed, but will have the light of life. Amen. Let us bow in prayer. Lord, we were born in darkness, and we could never find you by ourselves. And yet you've shone in our hearts. You've taken away the blindness from the eyes of many of us. And we have seen in Jesus the light of the world. And we're committed to following him. And we pray for those we know and love who've not yet come to that point in their lives. And we pray that you will bring them by your grace and mercy to the place where they know that Jesus is the light of the world, that they will trust him as their Savior and give themselves to following him. Help us, O God, to follow him and to follow him closely. And forgive us, we pray, if we've been lagging behind and not following as we should. And help us tomorrow and this week as we go out into our places of work and our communities where there's much darkness, to shine as lights for Jesus Christ in the world. We pray in his name and for his sake. Amen.